Oh, it doesn't announce for us. All right. So we're good then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome to our May 16th Citizens Ethics Advisory Board meeting. First order of business is attendance. So Beth Cook.
Here.
Mary Bigelow.
Here.
Charles Trusano.
Here.
Jason Farrell.
Here.
Cheryl Lipson.
Here.
Laura Schuyler.
Here.
Very good. Second order of business is approval of. I checked you off, but I didn't even say your name.
I was going to say.
Thomas Jones.
All right. We put you back on staff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now to the first order of business. If I can get a motion to approve the minutes from the April 18th, 2024 regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Cheryl. All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you very much. Chairperson's report. I do need a hearing officer for the July hearing date, which is July 11th. We have TJ for June 13th, so we need someone for July 11th. You didn't want to pull out your paper calendar.
Okay. Oh,
thank you very much. All right, Beth.
Kick her under the table.
I'm not going to kick her under the table.
Thank you, Beth. I just wanted to take an opportunity during this session to say I am blown away by the work of this agency with respect to the SFIs. I told Peter when I was reading the board materials, I kept thinking I was seeing the numbers wrong. You know, 99.99% is pretty incredible and really a testament to the work that you all do in your education and outreach and the work of the liaisons, and really incredible. I think it was Peter was saying 28 late filers, and only a few of those had been late in the past. I mean, so you are really making an impact here, and this is just the really exciting stuff. So thank you so much for the work that you do on that. That's really incredible. All right. Our next item on the agenda is the University of Connecticut's policies to regulate student state employment pursuant to Connecticut General Statute 1-90A. And before we move to take a vote on that, UConn's Associate Vice President and Chief Compliance Officer Kim Fearney is here with us virtually, and she is willing to answer any questions that anyone may have on the policies that were presented. Do you have any questions for Kim? Kim, is there anything that you'd like to say before we take a vote?
No, thank you for having me here. This is really important for our students. I appreciate, you know, all the work of everyone and the partnership that we have. We've worked with Charles quite a bit on the consulting piece. So, I'm happy to answer any questions, but really just appreciate the support and understanding.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm curious, how do you disseminate this information to UConn students?
So our students receive all of the policies through various means. It's pretty much, especially the student code, that standard, they get that through all the ways that they get important information. So all of these are owned by different individuals. And then there's also when the students are working through student employment, they get all this material through that way as well. And then depending on their role, there might be additional trainings that are provided. So there's a lot of means that we get the information to our students.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have questions for Kim? Thanks so much for being here with us and for providing these policies. Can I get a motion to approve the University of Connecticut's policies to regulate student state employment? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? Motion passes. Thanks so much again, Kim. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you all very much. Have a good afternoon.
You too. All right, so we'll move right along to the Legal Division report. Brian?
Good afternoon, board members. Brian O'Dowd for the record. You should have the Legal Division report in front of you. I don't have anything to add to it at this point. If you have any questions about the report itself or any of the REOs in there, the summaries, I'm happy to take those questions.
Questions for Brian? No? Okay, very good. Thank you, Brian. Then we will move along to Mark Wazalewski for the Enforcement Division.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, board members. The first report is in your packet. I do want to highlight just a few items. So right now, the UAPA matters, lobbyists and SFI initiatives are sort of in full swing. Currently, there are 11 matters that remain in the docket for June 13th hearing date, down from 25 matters that were sent notice of hearing. These are the first quarter 2Ds. As Chair Castro Cohen alluded, the staff did a very good job of ensuring that people file their SFIs, but there are a few stragglers. And I think there were a handful, maybe six people didn't file by the end of the grace period, which ended on the 14th. And what this means is that six people will get notices of hearing unless there are some extenuating circumstances, some kind of administrative snafu. So those notices of hearing will probably be for the July 11th date, hearing date. And then there's one other matter that was continued to the July 11th hearing date that was kind of left over. So that's, you know, besides a full docket of what we call our red jacket or confidential matters, the Enforcement Division is really going hard right now. So if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Questions for Mark? All right, very good. Thank you, Mark. So we will move on to Carol Landman and the client lobbyist audit report for the Connecticut Alliance of YMCAs.
Good afternoon, board members. This is Carol Landman, Associate Counsel for Seminar for the reference. We are talking about CT Alliance of YMCAs. Following findings were noted in the audit report, their 2021 second quarter ETH 2D. Client lobbyist financial report was filed 2 days late. In 2020 and 2021, the filings understated compensation paid to their communicator, and in 2022, the filings overstated convincingly to the communicator. In all 3 years, the portion of other reportable expenditures that was audited were found to be overstated. In each of these discrepancies noted, the client lobbyists did amend their report to accurately reflect what should have been. I did not recommend any corrective action here, but I did want to note that I recommended that they implement an updated tracking system for their expenditures, which they did implement in 2024 and utilized. So I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for the offering that suggestion, because I think a number of us on the board would have had the question of why so many findings. Any questions for Carol? All right. Can I get a motion to approve the communicator lobby audit, the client lobbyist audit report for Connecticut Alliance of YMCAs? So, can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Jason, you're in favor or opposed?
In favor, thank you.
Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you, Carol. And on to Mark Creighton for the Communicator Lobbyist Audit Report of Frisbee and Associates Government Affairs, LLC.
Thank you, Chair Castro Cohen. Good afternoon, board members. For the record, Mark Creighton. In your packet, you have the Communicator Lobbyist Audit Report for Frisbee and Associates Government Affairs, LLC. There are no findings, but I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Questions for Mark? All right. Can I get a motion to approve the Communicator Lobbyist Audit Report of Frisbee and Associates Government Affairs, LLC? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you. Sarah Clark, Education and Communications.
Thank you, Chair Casper Cohn. I'll give you the micro statistics because you've given us the macro ones in the chair report. We had a 100% timely filing of all three watchdog agencies. So the Elections Enforcement Commission, State Ethics, and Freedom of Information. And it was rather easy. There are a couple people who needed some creative, positive reinforcement to get theirs in on time, but none of them from our particular office. We had also 100% compliance from the entire General Assembly, which was very impressive. We were chasing them down even as late as 6 p.m. on the 1st, but we got everybody over the finish line. And this year we did email reminders periodically through the day. I'm able to pull in real time who's outstanding. So I normally would go through their liaisons, but when it was the last day, I'm just going to go straight for these people. So they've started receiving not only the system emails, but in addition, emails from me directly, as well as those people who had their reports in draft, because I think that's been a concern in the past. Is you really, when you're looking at the interface on our own site and on our own system, it doesn't really indicate for you that this isn't it, that you're not done yet. So just to make sure that people knew, and we were able to get a few more people over the finish line with that extra effort. So that was a undertaking, but one that put a good result out there afterwards. So I was happy to see that. Regular media info requests have been responded to, including people who were at May 2nd already asking for SFIs, and not just the governors, but cherry picking a couple other public officials. We've been updating the website regularly and working with agencies and quasi-public agencies with their trainings. Peter and I were at the Airport Authority at Bradley yesterday, and we're looking forward to a busy rest of May and June. So I'm happy to entertain any questions. I included what my next projects are in the written report, and I appreciate any feedback and guidance.
Which agencies still have somebody out? Are they just spattered all over?
The Board of Regents for Higher Education had a bunch. Connecticut Innovations, for some reason, this year had a bunch. So as I'm compiling this month's report card that goes out in the newsletter, I'm actually having to jockey around a lot. So as Mark noted, they're not consistent non-filers. These are all new non-filers. So they might even be brand new filers overall, but we can do that analysis for you for next month.
No, I was just curious, because if you have a grouping, a large grouping from a particular agency, that could indicate that's an agency you want to go in.
Definitely.
Some additional training with, or you may want to have the liaison kind of push it a little bit more.
Right.
So I was just curious, but if it's shatterscattered across.
Yeah, those are the only two that I can remember of greater than one concentration, but everything else is pretty scattershot.
Great.
Fantastic. Any other questions for Sarah? All right. Thank you, Sarah. Peter Lewandowski for Executive Director's Report.
Again, good afternoon, board members. So just to touch briefly on the SFI filing season, without exaggeration, this by far was the best filing season we've had, at least since we can keep or track our data for the Office of State Ethics. Really an amazing, amazing outcome. And so those results would not have been achieved, but for the great work of the staff, really, especially in terms of outreach and responsiveness. I really want to thank Sarah for this, and also Anne, Al, Henry, and both Melissa's. So, and also thank the legal division for fielding many questions, SFI-related questions during, especially the final few weeks of the filing season. So big thank you to all. Another topic, I just want to note that we'll embark on a new initiative to review our agency ethics policy. It's been a while. And the staff, I've already approached some staff members about it, and I think we'll review the agency ethics policy
which was last revised in November of 2011. So we're talking about close to 13 years. I think it's important to do this more frequently. And will any revisions that we'll make or suggest to make, we'll bring to the board. I'm not expecting this to happen the next board meeting, but sometime this summer for the board's review and approval. And also offer the opportunity for the board to review its own board policies. There are four of them. The last one was amended back in 2018. So this will also be a good opportunity to review the proposals. I'm sorry, the policies. And you'll determine whether you wish to keep them as they are or amend them in any way. Moving on the budget front, as you already know, the legislature did not. I've sent you an email just informing you my initial impressions of the legislative session. The legislature decided not to make adjustments to the fiscal year 2025. And as it's been reported in the media, instead of doing the adjustments, the legislature decided to pursue targeted stabilization of the budget, which focused on education, healthcare, and social services. So everyone else kind of was moved aside. We just have to live by the appropriations that were set a year ago. So our ask for $40,000 to amend or update our SFIs was not approved or did not was not in that stabilization bill. What that bill contained, however, it addressed the deficiencies for current fiscal year. If you recall from last meeting, I mentioned that OPM proposed to withdraw $100,000 from our current account, fiscal year. And fortunately, the Appropriations Committee agreed with us that, you know, by removing $100,000, it would place us in the deficiency. And again, this was based on the old information at the time when OPM ran numbers. We had a vacancy, attorney vacancy, and that's where that $100,000 was coming from. But now we are fully staffed. It just simply made no sense to put us in deficiency. So that worked out in that sense. So now, because the legislature did not pursue adjustments, the $40,000 that I've been asking for, I will put again for the new biennial budget, which will be prepared this summer. And it is filed with OPM either at the end of August or early September. So we'll be asking for updates to all our filing systems, not just SFI, but also lobbyists as well. So I'll keep you posted on that front as we go through the summer. So that's all I have for my executive director's report. I mean, I can just move on to the legislative update or my final legislative update for this session. You already received my kind of play-by-play of what happened. I really, in light of what transpired the last 2 weeks of the session, I personally can't complain about the outcome. I believe it was actually, we had a decent success. We advanced our priority, number one priority bill, which clarified our jurisdiction, and that was critical. It is critical for our enforcement division. That passed, and we're waiting for the governor to sign it. We, of course, stopped a watering down of Section 1-84D. That would exclude public utilities and siting council from the 11 agencies. That was a huge success because it was really a self-serving proposal. And fortunately, there was enough groundswell. I mean, I pretty much talked to anyone and everyone out there that I could talk to and who was willing to listen. And many people were willing to listen. And absolutely, you know, we're successful in stopping that in the Senate because it was a Senate bill.
Did you send Kevin a thank you note?
I actually was asked whether we were the source of, it is not my practice to talk to the media, But because I made so much noise, there were many people who were probably interested in talking to Mr. Rennie. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And if he called, I would obviously talk to him, absolutely. But we don't, it's not my practice to initiate with the media in that regard. In terms of, you know, and besides that, obviously, the deficiency that we fixed. So looking at the chambers, we did exceptionally well in the Senate. Out of the five bills we had, four passed in the Senate. We obviously stopped the watering down of 84D provision. We also advanced, we noticed that the committee also advanced the adjustment of thresholds bill that passed in the Senate. So overall, yeah, the Senate, we did really well. The House obviously was more difficult, but I had really fruitful conversations with the Speaker and his staff about two bills specifically. The conflicts bill on outside employment and also the SFI bill. And I think those conversations that occurred will be good foundation for next year. I would probably ask the board to support bringing those two specific bills again. Next session, I'll definitely make sure to talk to the Speaker and the Majority Leader in the House on those two bills early on. So we can kind of lay the foundation for hopefully the passage of them next year. And obviously it will be our big budget year as well, the 2-year budget year. So it's a long session also. And who knows what will be the makeup of the legislature since we're in the election year. So there may be changes as well. So finally, and this is the last topic I want to touch upon. Part of my effort to stop the amendment of 84D, I had a conversation with the legislator who actually proposed it. He admitted it to me. And what was surprising is that he in essence expressed a surprise that we engage in advocacy on ethics, which I found it kind of peculiar. And I said, you know, frankly, it is our responsibility. It's actually a statutorily authorized in the ethics code for us to propose various changes to the ethics code. That's one thing. We also, in our mission statement, we are called to adhere and also advance integrity and accountability of state government. So that in of itself already suggests that we advocate for those things. Many agencies advocate for the laws that they are charged in administering. And that's why we have legislative liaisons running around. So I was surprised by that suggestion. So he thought that we were just simply kind of the refs of what's right and what's wrong, but without any advocacy. And I'm saying this because this is stating the obvious to this group. I'm saying this because we're recording this. Our audio is monitored by third parties outside. And I want everyone to know that we do engage in advocacy to uphold the integrity and accountability of state government. It's our job. So if someone wants to water down the ethics code, we'll stand against it. And also to strengthen provisions. So
freshman legislator?
No, I wouldn't say.
Somebody obviously sits on committees, though.
Yes.
Where
absolutely, yeah.
Where agencies come to them and yeah. Say, "We'd like this bill."
Yeah. No, it's definitely someone, and I mean, it sits on a committee that proposes, and we had a conversation that you know. The proposal focused on law practice. Judiciary has a jurisdiction over law practice. But I specifically informed the legislator that, you know, 84D is not just limited to law practice. It's much broader.
Yeah.
Any representation. So pick your profession. So, yeah, I mean, I specifically said that should have been vetted by, at a minimum, by the GAE. I'm not saying that judiciary shouldn't look at it, but certainly because the subject matter involves the ethics code, it should go to the GAE. But again, the way it was proposed and what it contained, would have proposed it. So, and we did.
Well, and it's important to note that when Peter Lewandowski makes noise about something, he has the respect of everyone in the government and they listen. And I think it's really important that we appreciate what we have in our executive director here, because people aren't just going to blow him off. If Peter shows up to object to something, it's because it's substantive and it's important to this agency, and he's got a lot of respect. So thank you, Peter, for your, and I told him earlier, maybe you need some hazard pay for what happened to the legislative session. And to all of you who are involved in monitoring legislation, this is a thankless job. These things come up out of nowhere at the last minute. And then it's like, how do you get the ball to stop rolling? And we saw the power that having respect by others in the government really has, and we're lucky to have Peter at the helm and to make sure that our ethics code stays strong. So thank you. Any questions for Peter? All right, I believe we are at the public comment portion of the meeting. Since we are online, I'll remain silent for a second, but I don't see anyone who's not identified up there, but nonetheless, I'll remain silent. Right, hearing no comment, we do not need a closed session or an executive session, so the last thing we need is a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, folks, we are adjourned. We will see you in June. Thanks so much.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
There were 2 days.